Broadcasting from Youngstown, Ohio, this is the MV Red Podcast, the show where we talk about news and politics impacting the Mahoning Valley, the state of Ohio, and the USA. If you want to subscribe to our podcast, find us on your favorite podcast streaming app or visit our website, www.mvred.com. If you want to share your opinion with us, please email info@mvred.com, as we would love to hear from you. Now, let's get things started. Here are your hosts, Michael Metzinger and Dane Davis.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 29. I can't believe we've made it thus far.
I can't either.
Let's see here. Okay, there we go. Sorry. So tonight we have... I'm sorry. I'm trying to multitask here. We have the legend himself, big J.D. Vance guy here, Ryan Gerdusky. And we've got we have some things to say to
you about. Huge J.D. Vance guy.
I can't wait to hear them.
It's all constructive feedback that we're going to offer, and hopefully you could relay it to your man. Because what has changed from the last time you were on, I'm more inclined to support him. The more of Temkin I hear, the less I like. However,
well, Dane's a huge Temkin fan, so I mean, he's got the lawn sign outside of his house. You know, Jane, we trust.
They don't let lawn signs in my neighborhood. But I will say this: you were right. She's imploded. She's totally imploded.
I told you, that she was not going to do well, and she's just a bad candidate. Like she's fundamentally flawed, and she's flatlined. You know, after spending over $1 million.
So here's the problem, Ryan, and Michael and I were talking about this before. And Michael, I didn't mean to interrupt your introduction.
Let's go right into this because this is what I wanted to talk about.
Where is J.D. Vance? J.D. Vance is like the Where's Waldo of candidates, right?
He was just
so I'm friends with this guy. No, he's nowhere. He's nowhere. I'm friends
he
with a guy
just
named,
there today.
Caleb Thompson, okay? And Caleb is this young, he's energetic, 18, 19-year-old. He's always on the road, huge Trump guy, posting constantly. He's a Jane Timken guy. Constantly see her at all these different events, right? No, he's a great kid. And there are all these events, right? And I see at the events, here's who I see. That's fair. That's totally fair. I'm not going to go over there. He's at the candidate forum. He's at all these different events. And I see Mike Gibbons. I see Jane Timken. I see Josh Mandel. I see Josh Mandel all the time, everywhere you go, in Northeast Ohio, like every day.
When
he's in Warren. He's in
and you don't have to watch your own children. You
he's
can
in Cortland. Well, he's doing it though. He's doing it. He's always in Ohio. He's in Youngstown. He's in Cleveland. Okay. He's in Miami. Okay. You know who I never see? J.D. Vance. Is J.D. Vance racist against Northeast Ohioans? Does he hate people from Cleveland and Youngstown? Where is he?
Where is Lima, Ohio?
Northwest Ohio.
Okay, it's Northwest. It's not even Northeast. Brian, come on.
That's what he was saying. Listen to me. He's been a candidate for a month. I have heard you're concerned. You have sent me text messages privately about them. I am not on the campaign side. I'm on the PAC side. So I'm not in charge of making his calendar, and I can't control his calendar. I love Northeast Ohio. I've been there. I used to live there for Christina's campaign. I very well may likely be living there again very soon. So I just got an offer, a soft offer today, and I'll be probably moving to Northeast Ohio for a few months. So
Northeast Ohio is broad, right? It's Cleveland, it's Youngstown, it's Akron. Akron's kind of Northeast, kind of not. But and Lima is definitely not Northeast Ohio. I don't know anybody.
I said, where is Lima? I didn't say that it was. But right. when I worked for Christina Hagen in 18, I lived like just south of Youngstown. So, I mean, I know Northeast Ohio. It's extremely important to the campaign. JD will make it there. But look, I mean, obviously his message is resonating. Even our own internal poll, which is now public, showed that he went from 4% to 12% since announcing. And in another public poll, the poll that pollster for Josh Mandel even acknowledged that JD tripled his support in under a month. And he got about $5 million of free earned media. So the campaign strategy is working to a point. And I think that there is more going to be happening very, very soon. I know Northeast Ohio wants him there. I want him there. Hopefully he'll be there very, very soon.
I feel like a city like Youngstown, right? Or Ashtabula, it's a great county. Nobody talks about it. It's a lot like Youngstown. Talmadge, Ohio. These are areas that are perfectly made for J.D. Vance and his message, right? The Trumbull County, Mahoning County Republican parties, I don't know if anybody from there are listening, they do a fantastic job. They turned an area that was blue to red. That's this little podcast, right? There's like 18 conservative podcasts in the Youngstown area. So this, he should be there like all the time. And he's never there. He's never there. Right. People have no idea who he is.
Do you want him on this podcast?
Bring him on this podcast. Yeah, he'll get like 18 votes. That's pretty good yield for a podcast, right? He might even get like one of the co-hosts.
I will. Oh, not two of them.
I don't know about Michael. I can't speak for Michael.
Well, you'll probably get me. You probably snag me.
I will. I can't talk to the campaign. I may or may not be moving to the campaign hopefully soon. I may or may not be staying in the pack. I don't really know what my future is, but I will be more and more involved, and hopefully I will find a way to figure out how to get Tim to Northeast Ohio.
Can you reveal what is the secret plan for taking down Josh Mandel? I think everybody would agree Josh Mandel is the clear front runner. He's at 40%.
Unfortunately.
45%.
No, he's not at 40%.
Let's 35, right? He's definitely got the
plurality. Okay, the poll that you're citing that he is at 40% gives 15 or 16% to other. Who the is an other?
Well, not JD Vance.
They list every candidate. They put other there. It's clearly they didn't release the full poll, and it's clearly an informed poll because every other poll that has been released both privately and publicly that I've seen that's not informed is over 50% undecided. When you have an informed, so what you do is this. This is like the whole mystery and secret behind polling. I'll tell you right now, as someone who's been in campaigns for 15 years, you release the first question, which was if the election was today, who would you vote for? Candidates A, B, C, D, and E. Then you sit there and say, candidate A loves America, fought our wars, owns a small business, has a dog, has three children. Are you more likely to vote for candidate A? And their numbers go up, and then they re-ask the question, knowing what you know, who would you vote for election day? And
you're right.
Soar. And that was what was released with that 40% number. Our own poll, which is public, so I can say it, had Josh at 21% and had JD at 12. Given the fact that Josh, she was at 7 or 8. I think 8.
Okay.
Oh.
And also the other pollster had him at 8 too. The Club for Growth poll, which is supported by what you call it? Hold on a second. Can I be right out? Okay. The Club for Growth poll, which was the poll that was released publicly that you're citing, also had Timken at 8. So between those two polls, Timken, JD is the second place candidate. He is the non-Josh candidate. And I think as time goes on, we will understand and see that J.D. Vance, either J.D. Vance or Josh Mandel, every other candidate is going to fall by the wayside. And that's the decision that voters are going to have to make. Do you want a complete clown like Josh Mandel, or do you want a real leader for America first, and it's J.D. Vance?
Well, so here's a couple questions, right? I do think the other candidates are going to fall away. I think Timken's going to stay because she just has so much money.
By the way, this is what I thought we were going to hear about Biden's poll numbers. Wait, what? I saw that tweet. I saw the tweet saying Biden's poll numbers. And I said,
I don't read any of the show prep. So are we supposed to be talking about Biden's poll numbers?
The show prep came about 30 minutes ago. We'll throw some at you on Biden's poll numbers.
Go ahead.
Well, so, but what's the plan to take down Josh? I mean, he is like, he's on the ground. He's got a network.
Say that out loud.
Wait a minute. Let me just say this. He's got an email thing. I was walking around and I got an email and I thought like, oh wow, a love letter from somebody that loves me. And it was Josh Mandel. And I was like, wait, what? How does he even have my email address? And he's spamming me and he's got like people on the ground.
Dane, Dane, are you that lonely? You want me to email you?
I would love for you to email me, actually.
Email
yes.
You if that's what it takes. No, yeah. Josh, all Josh did was rent a list. If you've ever signed a petition or if you've ever donated to another candidate, your name is on a list and they rent lists out. That's all he did was rent a list with your email on it.
Oh.
That's all he did. I mean, like, it's not that hard. My school board pack does that. Do you know I'm doing school board elections in Ohio in November?
Oh, really?
I launched the first nationwide school board PAC, and we're going to be campaigning for
taking down critical race theory.
Yes, taking down critical race theory in Ohio. Yeah, CRT
so wait,
in Ohio.
Back in Ryan, Canada. Can if you're say you have a wife that is into like maybe homeschooling or private schools, is school board still relevant for that person?
For private schools, yes, 100%. Because private schools have so school boards do things like hiring, like buying the textbooks. And yeah. Okay, I mean, there's so private schools have a lot more leeway, but they are usually buying the same textbooks that public schools are because they buy them massively in bulk and reduce prices. So you're not using variously different textbooks from public school to private school. So the buying of the textbooks is really where the power is.
How's the school board fight going? Because I feel like that the war against critical race theory is actually one where the right wing is winning and not losing on the culture war. And they've been aggressive. And I think the left has kind of been caught unprepared. It was like,
it's all because of Ryan. 100% because of this. No, I'm not even joking, Ryan. It's 100% because of you. You were the one who blew this up.
Chris Rufo gets way more credit than I do.
I don't know who he is or she.
Chris Rufo is huge. Yeah.
He's another great Italian American. No, I think that here's like the thing is that, you know, the problem is that school board elections are so varying in time and place. And some like school boards are in April, some are in November of off year elections. So we're getting involved in the November off year elections in 7 states, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Ohio, Kansas, Colorado, and Minnesota. Those are the 7 states I'm getting involved in. And those are, and we've raised so far $300,000. I think we're going to spend about $150,000 of which on these school board elections. So we're going to infuse, you know, quite a bit of money into these races and hopefully win most or all of them. And I think that that's the beginning of it. What I would like to do ultimately is my 2-year goal is to expand this pack. This pack is called the 1776 Project Pack. My phone is slipping down. I just realized. The 76 Project Pack. And so to do that and to increase the funds for the following year for 2022. And then I would like to make the very first, I didn't know this didn't exist, but I like to make the first association of conservative school board members because there's nothing on the right. It's been totally forgotten and nothing's been organized. So next year, my goal is to create association of you know school board members that are you know more that are against Common Core that are against not just Common Core but critical race theory and the degeneration of merit and the degeneration of advanced classes in science and math and you know a lot of the transgender stuff which I think is horrendous. I read Abigail Schreier's book. It made me totally radicalized on the transgender.
I haven't read that yet.
It is so you will like not be able to sleep at night. It is insane what they're doing in schools for young girls. Highly recommended. Highly, highly recommended.
Why are so many Italian Americans so right wing nowadays? Like, what is it? I mean, you guys are you're. Let me put on my leftist hat. Okay, ready? I'm going to be a leftist.
That's my joke, but go ahead.
why are the Italians who allied with the white power structure and white supremacy, you know, when you're clearly a minority, like what is going on? You know, like why it seems like all the leading right wing movement activist guys are Italian. Ryan Dardusky, Chris Ruffalo. Is that even an Italian name? Ruffo?
Yeah.
Ruffo?
Chris Ruffo is my Italian ex-brother in arms. I think that, you know, I think that Italians are very culturally right wing. I think we support a lot of traditional gender norms. We look at family in a very different light than a lot of other people. And I think that as a group of people who were told constantly that we face discrimination in our country with our ancestors, and we with very minimal exception, never given a lot of victimhood cards to dish out. It turns out when I applied to college, I was like, I got some advancement for being Italian. Apparently it's a discriminated class in New York City or something like that. But nonetheless, really? With those very exceptions, Italian Americans have for the most part thrived in a country that we experienced tremendous discrimination. The largest lynching of all time was among Italians. A lot of discrimination. And we never kind of banked on the victimization thing, and it wasn't something that was cherished on us. And we all have recent immigration stories where assimilation was a supported idea. So I think that the reason why is that we, you know, our grandparents were very strong about assimilating and succeeding despite any circumstances, not falling behind on victimization. I think we carry a lot of that pride, you know, and it took a lot to assimilate. Italians were not.
I love it.
Michael, aren't you part Italian?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a huge, you might know this, Ryan, but there's a ton of Italians in Youngstown. It's a huge.
He wouldn't know that because he never visits Youngstown. None of his candidates go to Youngstown. They go to Lima.
Christina was here.
Christina was there. I've been there, Christina. I know that Cleveland has a lot of Italians.
I'd like to think we're number one in Ohio. Dang, you're not an ounce of Italian, are you?
No, I am.
You're missing out.
I'm Catholic though, so I'm like Italian adjacent, right?
Catholic.
What's that?
Are you converted to Catholic?
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
When you meet an Italian Protestant, it is truly a moment where you're like, what?
How?
Do they exist?
My writing over the summer, Anthony Leonardi was a Protestant. And I was like, what happened? He's like, well, my mom was Protestant. My dad converted and married her. I'm like, it's supposed to go the other way. Like,
yeah.
Take from them, give away. But
that is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. New question, Ryan. Beyond your Italian-American advocacy for the rights of the most oppressed class in America.
Fauci set us back 2 years in the Cuomo.
He did. He and Tony Soprano. What's going on with Joe Biden? Why is he so popular? Why does everybody love Papa Joe or Uncle Joe, as I like to call him?
Is that popular? I mean, the Real Clear Politics polling average have him about 50. The unfavorables have certainly climbed. He's lost about 5 to 6 points in favorability rating. And on every issue, aside from COVID, he has been underwater. I think COVID was his armor. And I think that the Delta variant and the surge of COVID cases around the entire country, not just in the Deep South, really has inflicted in the fact that all these cities are talking about more math or more mandates, more lockdowns. I think that it's really negatively hitting him, and he won't be able to recover from this. I think worse for him is the fact that his VP, Kamala Harris, her numbers are way underwater, and she's only been vice president for 7 months now. The Fox News poll today had her favorability is -8. And the difference between Biden and Kamala is so substantial. I tweeted this out. There's a whole thread. that Kamala with parents is 15 points lower than Biden. With voters under 35, she's 17 points lower. And with independents, she's 13 points lower. She's got a real unlikability factor that hasn't changed whatsoever. And the lower Biden goes, the more she drags down as well. And I think that if they can't get COVID, if we're talking about more shot lockdowns and major cities demanding, you know, COVID passports and colleges all over the country are mandating both COVID vaccinations and mask mandates, you have to have both. I think it's going to really turn a very sour, an increasingly sour note, and especially as inflation rises, the economy's bad, the border crisis is horrendous. It's one strike after the other. There's really no safe place to leave your eyes, and I'm all for getting out of the war in Afghanistan, but it's going to be a very ugly couple of months where you're going to see women getting put in burqas again or full hijabs again. You're going to see a lot of people being killed in the streets of Afghanistan. It's going to be a really, really bloody scene. And Biden is going to have to own every ounce of that. And that's a hard political choice to make. I support him making it. But yeah, he's going to be in a tough position next couple months. And it's going to hurt Democrats. And that's why they're trying to win this budget bill right now and get everything they can. Because they know next year they're getting nothing and they're going to lose the House substantially.
Do you think the Republicans are on course to win the House of Representatives in 2020?
They're going to win overwhelmingly.
Oh, wow.
I think they're going to win by minimum, I would say as of right now, a minimum of 25 seats.
That's pretty big because it's not – I don't remember the balance, but the balance is much tighter than people realize.
It's like
it's
D plus eight, nine?
Eight, nine, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they'll lose about – the redistricting alone is going to cost them a couple of seats. But, no, it's going to be a wave year for Republicans. And Democrats are already turning against them. And, you know, a lot of these polls are mocked up to advantage of Democrats. And they're still – the reason Biden – if you look at most of the polling, the reason Biden's popularity is as high as it is because Biden has more of a cultish approval rating among Democrats than Trump did among Republicans.
Yeah,
approval rating is circling in the low 90s. There's very few Democrats who disapprove. Trump wasn't like that until like the fourth year of his presidency, but it is monolithic among independents. He's underwater in many polls, and Republicans, there's still room for Republicans to grow among their own base. So it's going to be a very tough year for Democrats.
Well, that's because the leftists are total pussies, right? Like the leftists pretend to be like communist revolutionaries on Twitter. And when it comes time, and then they fold for like the most neoliberal shills out there, like Joe Biden, right? Who's like one of the most corrupt establishment politicians out there. Like, the left will just go along with it. The right wing doesn't do that always.
Not as much.
Certainly not as much. Yeah.
Certainly. Are a lot of moderates who will not go with a very extreme Republican or not a very extreme Republican, any kind of Republican that they don't like is considered moderate enough. A countdown, I'd say, until you have the narrative from the media being that Ron DeSantis is more dangerous than Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's coming. That's absolutely coming. Who do you think is the last group to fall away from Biden? Is it the far left or is it the moderate Democrats?
The first one or the last one?
Who's the first one to break away? Like, how does his support really start to crumble? How does he turn underwater?
Of his coalition, it will be white working class voters who split from Trump to vote for him. It will be white men. It will be Hispanic men. I think those would be the three. There was an interesting CNN exit poll on the election night. And it has like 48% of Hispanics who voted for Biden disapprove of Black Lives Matter. So as crime increases, I think that it's going to be a very hard sell for a lot of Hispanic voters.
Yeah. Do you see that? Or go ahead, Dane.
No, go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say, do you see the gains Republicans made with Hispanics in 2020 continuing, or was that a one-time thing?
That's a good question.
I don't think they made that many gains.
Well, if you look at a map, like on election, like Miami-Dade, and then you look along the border of Mexico and Texas, that's where the biggest swings were.
Yes. I think, I mean, Miami may be more permanent. If you look at why Hispanics voted against Biden, there was very different reasons between Venezuelans, Ecuadorians, and Cubans versus Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Dominican. For Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, and Cuba and Mexicans, it was crime related. It was hugging BLM so much. For Venezuelans, Cubans, and Ecuadorians, it was communism. It was the socialism message. I think that they're more likely to stick closer towards him, especially with the fiasco that Cuba came on, especially that other things happened. The working class Hispanics, I don't know. I think without Trump, I have a very hard time believing that they're going to sit there and stay close to him. We haven't had an election yet with a major Hispanic population. I would love to sit there and see how they splinter, but I don't know right now. I can't imagine the New Mexico election, the New Mexico special, the Democrats just dominate with the Hispanic areas, and that's the Mexican areas. So we'll wait and see, but I'm not super hopeful.
I totally agree with you there.
Who is your guy? Are you a DeSantis? So there's a emerging split, right? The right wing has three factions. You've got lame never Trumpers like Al Pundit. Do you know who Al Pundit really is? I would be curious. But you've got his faction, right? They suck, but they're insignificant, but they control like a lot of the establishment still. Then you've got like the populist right, which is dominant, but it's fractured because you've got like the Matt Walshes of the world going to a Ron DeSantis, right? And then you've got some people that are still sticking with Donald Trump. What? Matt
Walsh is like populist, right?
He's not really. You're right. You're fair. Matt but Walsh,
like mentally handicapped. Matt Walsh is like above an 80. I would be shocked.
Okay. He was a bad example. I'm not going to argue on that one. But
who's Walsh? Matt Walsh, what? He's the writer for the Daily Caller, right?
No, that's Scott Greer.
No. Matt Walsh worked for the Daily Caller, and he worked for like 50 other papers, and he works everywhere for 6 months until they fire his ass.
No, but he's been working for the Daily Wire for like 2 or 3 years now. He's Ben Shapiro's boy.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the wrong Matt Walsh. No. Okay, Matt Walsh. No, that the Daily Caller, Matt, Daily Wire, Matt Walsh, I like. I'm thinking of somebody out there who is just like one of the lowest IQ individuals in Washington. No, Walsh, the Daily Wire Matt Walsh, I like a lot.
Yeah. So anyway, so you've got like the Ron DeSantis crowd forming, right? And it's small but growing. And then you've got like your old Trumpers, and then you've got people that they don't know who. Are you with the was Trump like a unique flash in the pan? Like, let me put it this way. Did Trump win because of his personality, or did Trump win because of his issues? Can like a Ron DeSantis be as strong as a Donald Trump? Is he going to be stronger? Is he going to be weaker? Where does Ryan sit in that upcoming divide?
Well, what Trump won in Trump voter of 16 wasn't the Trump voter of 20. The Trump voter of 16 was this big. The Trump voter of 20 was this big. So there's a lot of cult of personality people that are in that world right now that were not there in 16. I think Trump, as of right now, is probably planning on running again. I've heard from a lot of people in his camp he is planning on running again. I hope he doesn't. I hope he goes off in the sunset and has a great retirement, but I hope he doesn't run again. I think it's time for new leadership. I hope he doesn't run again, but I don't have a candidate as of yet. I love Ron DeSantis a lot with what he's doing. But you know, when I made my school board PAC, the only elected official in America to contact me saying, how can I help with school board elections, was Ron DeSantis.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Only person to contact me was Ron DeSantis saying, how can I help oust bad school board members?
Wow. I've heard from – so there's this guy on Twitter called Scott Greer. Have you ever met Scott Greer?
Yeah, very well, yeah.
He's a big Trump guy, and he says that Ron DeSantis is all bark, no bite, that he says the right things, but he's still establishment, and he's not going to do anything. He's not effective. What would you say to that?
Well, I would say that DeSantis has done the right things. He hasn't just said the right things. He has done the right things over in Florida. And I get that concern. I say, look, I have the same position as my friend Ann Coulter. We've been burned a lot. in the past. So let's not marry anybody this early on. Let's make them work for earn for our vote and work for it, and we'll see. It's a long time. Right.
Is Anne, is she depressed? I worry about Anne. Like, things are going poorly for the country. She's become like a prophet. She knows like shit is hitting the fan, and it's only going to get worse from here. And really, like, the conservatives are a rear guard action, right? Napoleon, we're losing the war. We've got one last battle in us, and we're probably going to lose in the end. Anne knows all this. Is she in good spirits lately? Like, how's she feeling?
Anne's a little black-pilled.
Yeah,
she's a little black-pilled. I'm more of a shining ray of light than Anne is. But she feels disappointed by the Trump presidency.
Yeah. Yeah, she got burned. She got burned hard, yes, unfairly. That actually really made me mad, the way Trump treated Ms. Coulter.
Well, you know the blowout fight. I mean, it's public information. I can repeat it if you don't. You know the fight.
No, right? Tell it again. Tell it again. I maybe do. I maybe and don't.
White House. I think it's the end of year one. I think it's year one or beginning of year two. She goes into the Oval Office. She's already started publicly. And he says, oh, there she is, the great betrayer. That fucking tell me about betraying people. And they started cursing each other out across the desk of the Oval Office. Secret Security was in the room, and they were like looking like, is she going to kill him? And at the end of the conversation, she started saying about Jared. And at the end of the conversation, she said, well, we might as well just have elected Jeb Bush, I guess.
I can see you're saying that.
And then that, I believe, their last or second to last conversation.
What? That's a good story. Putting Anne in contact with me, I'll cheer her up.
There was a lot of swearing.
Wow. What's the deal with Matt Drudge? So Drudge was obviously a big Trump backer. Then they.
I don't know Matt Drudge at all. I've never met him, and Anne doesn't talk about him. So I don't know.
Because he's completely shifted and done a 180. He was kind of a Biden backer, actually, if you follow the Drudge Report. He was very soft on Biden. He's starting to turn, but I think he's been soft on Biden.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I never met Matt Drudge. I'm not. I like the Drudge Report, but I'm not a huge Drudge Report person, and I just don't know. But I can't say.
Okay. Anyway,
I got a question I want to ask. This might be a little random, but do you think – in 2022, a candidate, let's say a Republican that is more willing to, I don't want to use the word worship Trump, but make his campaign all about Trump, does he have better odds of winning in a general? Or does a Republican who just kind of tiptoes and doesn't really, you know, act like he worships him and just kind of plays dumb to the whole thing? Because I think the Democrats are going to try to nail as many Republicans in tight races to Trump as possible.
So I have heard this polling information from several pollsters. Trump endorsing and praising somebody does not move the needle much. Trump attacking somebody moves the needle a lot. So if you're a Republican and Trump attacks you, it does you a lot of damage. If you're a Republican, you just don't praise. Trump doesn't praise you, doesn't mention you. It doesn't do nearly as much damage. And it doesn't hurt you much. And, you know, people forget, but towards the end of the 20 campaign, Trump lost a lot of endorsed races. A lot. Yeah, Lauren Boebert, Bob Good, Madison Cawthorn. There was like two other ones, and he lost the primaries, his endorsed candidates. And, you know, in hindsight, we think of, oh, this Trump's this magic bullet. But he just lost a race in Texas. I think the Trump endorsement's great when you can get it. But if you rest on your laurels that, oh, I have the Trump endorsement, I don't need to work, I think that you're the fool of that, right?
I think where it can matter, and let's see if Dan agrees with me here, the Ohio governor race, I think Renacci needs it, personally. I know DeWine's unpopular, but I still think he's going to be tough to beat, and I still think Renacci, if he wants to take – because I think the hidden story here is this Blystone guy – who's going to eke out, you know, maybe 10-15% of the vote. I could see him taken from Renacci. And those are all Renacci voters. None of them are going to vote for DeWine. I think Renacci needs a Trump to win. But
Renacci asked me to manage his super PAC, so, and I still have not yet done it. So we'll see if that happens.
I have a hot take. I think Renacci is, DeWine has been backed into a corner because
big
I think
corner.
If COVID continues to become a thing, right? If Delta cases continue to go up, or if Lambda, book that now, folks. Copyright that name because it's going to be really popular. The Lambda wave goes up, right? DeWine is going to be forced to shut down and put on masks and stuff like that. And if he does, and I think it's a situation where like 55% of the Ohio public would want shutdowns and stuff, but 60 to 65% of the primary population, and this is just random, probably is against that. So if DeWine does that, Renacci takes off. That's my
He's walking take. A tightrope right now.
I think he's walking, he can't please both sides.
If I'm his super PAC, I will put that down as something I should sit there and corner and capitalize on for sure.
Yeah, because I definitely think the average Republican is probably tired of masks and tired of COVID.
I got ouchie today. I got my shot today.
What you get?
The J&J. I will never wear and besides an airplane for the rest of my life ever.
No, you will. You will because you have to, right? Like this is the first vaccine of like 18.
Grab me at a fucking bar. I will never wear a mask again for the rest of my life ever. I'm done.
I respect
They're going to force you. They're going to force you.
Dane, you don't know what it's like to have a big nose like I do and wear a mask. The most uncomfortable world. You snots all over your face. You're sweating out. No, I will never wear a mask. This is why Asians wear them. No one has a big nose. My nose. No, we have shields of armor in Europe. I will never wear again. I'm telling you.
You're going to be wearing masks for the next, I'd say, 7 years, 7 or 8 years until they find something new.
And I've not worn a mask in probably 6 months. I will not, I will never now wear them again.
Are you still in New York City?
Yes.
How do you do that?
How do you make it happen?
Yeah.
Well, don't they in like restaurants, sit down restaurants and stuff?
No. Nope.
I thought he was pushing that.
No. Nope. He's pushing a COVID vaccine card, which I think is stupid too. But no, he's not pushing. No,
mask. You're vaccinated now, so you're good.
Yeah. And I'll print more fake copies of mine as I sell them.
I think here's my prediction of what's happened. I think COVID cases spike again. I think, and this is, I'm going to say something very controversial. It's probably going to get us blocked. I think the vaccines fade in efficacy over time. And I think if you look at Israel, if you look at Gibraltar, if you look at Iceland, okay, with the new variants, I think the vaccines over time, they work, and then they fade and they drop off. So I think you're going to see cases spike. I think you're going to see deaths start to spike too. And the message has been, it's just unvaccinated people dying. But I think vaccinated people are going to start dying in large numbers too.
Well, I mean,
and then I think that once that happens, there's going to be another shit show with COVID, especially as we have it into the fall. So I think the floor is going to collapse under Biden. I would short the fuck out of Biden. And I also think, and this is the economist in me, I think if we have more money printing, we're going to see rampant inflation. And if they have shutdowns, you're going to have a bunch of money come online, right? So new demand. As the supply chain shut down, that gap that I'm making, that's inflation. So I think it's going to get really bad. I hope I'm wrong. I hope this is hysterical. And I think Biden will collapse. What's that?
I said, you're telling me I should buy in bulk now. I will give you a prediction, though, totally different prediction. I think that next year, especially as you see these governor's elections happening, I have to go up to this because my guy's going to kill me. As you see these governor's elections happen in these big blue states, especially with COVID and with the rampant spending at the state level, they're going to need to raise taxes on a massive level.
Agreed.
In New York, the number I keep hearing or after your federal, state, local tax is going to be close to 62%.
Holy God.
So
you have to in New York.
You're going to see a run like you've never seen of the middle and upper middle class out of the blue states.
You're already seeing it to some extent.
Not like you're about to. I think if the tax goes to 62%, you're going to see a flood of people leaving the city.
I don't disagree with you there.
Yeah.
All right, I have to.
Okay, Ryan, you've been great. We appreciate it, as always.
Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye. The legend himself.
He's so cool. He's so cool. Is it
like rapid fire?
Yeah.
Question after
question. I want to keep doing this show if for no other reason that Ryan will one day get Ann Coulter on. This will probably be like the smallest media appearance that Ann Coulter has ever done. But I think it's coming. I would be very afraid of Ann Coulter because she's more of a man than both of us combined. And I mean that in a complimentary way, not as a jerky way. Like, Ann, she's tough. She's very tough.
Yeah, she doesn't hold back. She says what she wants to say, and she has no filter. And
no, she's usually right, though. That's the irony, is that she's right more than she's wrong.
Well, she was right about Trump in 2016.
Yeah, yeah, and they laughed at her.
On Bill Maher's show or whatever.
Yeah. Who do you think is going to win? Of all the people running, Donald J. Trump. And then they all laughed, and Joy Reid, they all chortled, and she was totally right.
You were just talking, not to go off course, you were just talking about vaccine efficacy. There was it's not a study necessarily, but this was from, let me see here. I read this article yesterday. Jack Brasovic tweeted it out about vaccine efficacy as it relates to the Delta variant. Pfizer's is only 42% effective, but Moderna, which I got, I'm a big Moderna guy, 76% effective. So I don't own stock in them. I probably should have bought some, because I remember it was Rich Barris was the one on his show who kept talking about got to watch Moderna. I know Pfizer was the first, but I think he said how this one would be quite effective. Anyhow, so 42% Pfizer, 76% Moderna. And this is based on, let me see here. This was actually a pretty large study that was done. I'll find it if you want to react to that, if I could narrow it down here. I think they're analyzing cases in a certain state or in a country, but it was a pretty large, a sizable chunk to come up with those numbers.
Michael, let's take a step back, right? Because what the fuck – PG, what is happening with COVID? What is going on? Are we going to be – in masks the rest of our lives? Are we going to have an internal passport system the rest of our lives? Like, none of this makes any sense. Like, if you've been following it, you follow it very closely, right? Every week, the data and the news changes. And it's not just, here's what makes me so mad. It's not that the data evolves, so people's opinions evolve, which I understand, right? That's a good thing. If new data comes in, you should adapt with it. But we go from 1 week, like, grand pronouncements that, like, this is the way it is X. And then the next week, it's like, this is the way it is Y, and it's always been Y. And if you disagree, you're anti-science, right? And then that, you know, a week later, it's now Z, and if you disagree, it's anti-science. Where does it all end? When do we stop? Like, how long is this going to go on? Like, what's happening? What is the Michael Metzinger approach? You've got the vaccine. Do you feel safe? Do you feel worried? I mean, like, what's going to happen?
I mean, I think for somebody my age, 31, vaccinated, I feel very safe going out in public, going to the grocery store, going to the mall, going wherever the heck I want to go without a mask on. And I'm hoping that continues, as well as, you know, going to church and things like that. I do find it somewhat concerning. I guess I would have thought the variants wouldn't strengthen or become maybe more lethal. I don't think necessarily we have the data as of yet to say this is a more lethal variant than the original ones, but it definitely shows that for the unvaccinated population, they're vulnerable. And you know, just when you think this thing's going away, we get this variant over here, and it's spiking a lot higher than I thought. I think there's another 2,000 or 3,000 cases in Ohio today. And again, you know, I caution people when we hear cases. Cases, what we should really be looking at are hospitalizations and deaths. And there's usually a lag between when the cases spike, at least what we've seen since this pandemic started, and when the hospitalizations and deaths really start spiking. So we'll kind of see, but it's definitely spiked quite a bit, especially in Ohio. It's somewhat concerning. I don't know. I don't know if there's an end game here. It's just timing wise with school starting and all that coming up here in the fall. It does give you some pauses. You know, are we going to go back to having some sort of restrictions, which hopefully we won't.
Do you think at this point, do you think Ohio, right, does DeWine implement another lockdown or a mask mandate? Well, let me break the question up. Does DeWine implement another mask mandate? Does he implement another lockdown or like a middle ground between those two? What do you think?
I say 100% no on the lockdown.
100% no.
100% no on a lockdown. I don't see a lockdown in any way, shape, or form happening. Mask, okay. I think if he might either threaten it or B, he might tie it to a certain county where he might say that county's, you know, Board of Health can authorize requiring a mask or something like that. I don't think he could do a statewide thing whatsoever. It would be detrimental to his campaign.
Isn't he defanged based on what the legislative branch passed? Like
I thought it was a 3-month lag from when the legislature could do something. But wait a second. So my thought was, if the legislature had removed the mask mandate back in June, there would be a 90-day thing. However, I don't believe – I mean, he lifted it himself. So right. I'm not sure necessarily how the law is written in this area. It's going to be – I don't see – with an election – if he didn't have an election coming up, I think he would consider doing something. But I don't see it happening. I think deep down he wants to do something, and I know some of his, you know, biggest supporters, and especially those who like him on the left, want him to do more. I think his hands are tied. Like you said, he's walking a tightrope here. He's got to watch. And if you notice, he's only really done like one press conference since this thing's been surging. He's kind of been MIA. Not that I really – not much like he could do much about this, but it's something – I'm sure he didn't want to see happen, you know, eight months before his primary election.
Do you think, like, what would you put the odds right now of Jim Renacci, Mike DeWine? What's your probability tracker? Like, if you had to do a chart, right? Where were you 6 months ago? Where were you 3 months ago? Where are you today?
So 6 months ago, I probably would have had DeWine at 75% odds.
I'm with you on that. Okay. So here's Renacci's chances. That's going to be my hands. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is 3 months ago. He's got 25%. 6 months ago, he's got 25% chance, right?
Yeah. So
3 months ago.
Yeah. So three, you know, we're probably in the 60s. Now, you know, I'm still going to put DeWine between 50 and 55%. Here's the thing, though. I still think this Blystone guy is going to cause Renacci major issues. He's got a massive social – and let me take a step back. Not that social media means anything, but this Blystone guy, which I didn't hear of until 3 months ago, has a massive social media following, blows Renacci out the water. He has these – I'm going to call them trolls that attack Renacci all the time on any of Renacci's posts. And quite frankly, I don't know much – you know, I'd like – Renacci's a likable guy. But I'm struggling with his campaign. It just doesn't seem like he's not really showing much about like what he's offering from what I could tell. It just seems like anytime he gets any opportunity just to take a shot, like even a cheap shot, a low blow at DeWine, he just can't help himself and take it. And I think for somebody like me who isn't DeWine's biggest fan, might be leaning towards voting, reelecting DeWine, you know, I want to hear about your policies, you know. I don't dislike you as a person, but don't make this campaign all about being anti DeWine. We get it. You don't like DeWine, but I just question. I'm going to say this. I question how authentic Renacci is right now, because I think deep down he probably wouldn't be posting some of the stuff he does. I think maybe as advisors, you know, telling him you got to do this. I just don't see him being the type that just constantly goes after somebody. I want to know more about what he's going to do for the state.
I think Blystone is a secret plant by the Ohio establishment to undermine Renacci. I that's my theory. Like, I think that's, you've got a great point there. Like, Blystone came out of nowhere. He's huge on social media. If he gets like 5 to 10%, he destroys Renacci. Like, even if you've got 60% of people that are anti-DeWine, right? If 11% go Blystone and what, 49% go Renacci, maybe I'm doing the math wrong, 39% go Renacci, DeWine could still have that 40 and win, right? And just get there. I think I did the math right.
I follow. But it's he has, like I just mentioned with Ryan Gerdusky, none of those Blystone voters are going to vote for DeWine. None of them. So they are just literally taking votes. They're siphoning votes from Renacci's campaign. And Renacci, I think, judging by some of his he likes to respond to people on social media. He does it all the time. And he responds to these people. And a lot of Renacci's backers are trying to say, hey, you guys might want Blystone, but he doesn't have a chance. At least I have a chance. He's using that electability argument. But I think there are a lot of people who view Renacci even as like an old, like an establishment type figure, and aren't on board with him. And if it was a 2-man race, you know, Renacci would have a decent chance. But I think this Blystone is going to cause him some issues. And one other factor here, I think I want to throw out, and I mentioned this before, is this isn't a primary where you have to be a Republican. I could go next May, whatever it is, and go and vote as a Democrat. When you go to a primary, they ask you, what ballot do you want, Republican or Democrat? It's not like, hey, you're an R in our system, you're automatically given an R ballot. You request a ballot. So when I first started voting in like 2008, I requested a Democrat ballot, not because I was a Democrat, just because I wanted to vote on a local level on some candidates, because whoever won the Democrat primary locally was who represented us in office. So I wanted to do that. Then came 2010 or 2012, and I'm like, I'm not going to say I'm a Democrat anymore. And if you look at my voting history, I've always been a Republican ever since then. So there are going to be independents who I think really would probably view DeWine as more favorable, who are going to vote in the Republican primary. But the thing that works for Renacci is the Cincinnati mayor announced this, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, that he's running. So now you have the Cincinnati mayor against the Democrat mayor of Dayton, Nan Whalen. They're going at it. So there's going to be a contested primary on that side, which could keep Democrats from voting in the Republican primary. Could.
That's a good point. How's Tim? Or is Tim Ryan the? Is he? He's not running for governor, is he? He's running for Senate.
He's running for Senate.
And who else is running against Tim Ryan?
So far, nobody else. And I was kind of expecting the Democrat establishment just to keep that Cincinnati mayor out, just so they could raise as much money as possible, have it ready to go, ready to unload on whether it be DeWine or Renacci, Blystone doesn't have a chance in my eyes, or on the Senate side, whether it be Mandel or Temkin or Vance. And in the chat, Gino DeFabio, legend, has something to say. Blystone has nothing to offer. The anti-DeWine vote is his biggest block. He can't beat DeWine in a primary, let alone win in the general. Much of his Facebook support may not be eligible to vote in the Republican primary. But he's right. You know, Blystone doesn't have a chance. He's not going to win. So it's a matter of those people who are voting for him are going to do it as a matter of principle. They just, for some reason, just can't get themselves to back a Renacci. And they're just going to say, you know what? We're not going to go with Renacci. We're going to back Blystone, even if we know he doesn't stand a chance.
I don't know. Maybe the Blystone people are more bark than bite, though. Maybe they're like 4% of the electorate, right? And so if you're Renacci, maybe you get like 40 to 45. The Blystone people are maybe 5. Well, that still gives DeWine a majority. I don't know. I do think Blystone's a spoiler, though. Like, he doesn't have a chance. He will keep DeWine in office, right? If you're anti-DeWine, you can't vote for Blystone, right? You just literally have to vote for Renacci. That's your only choice, in my opinion, if you're truly anti-DeWine.
Yeah, and you mentioned this a little bit ago about the establishment. And I had commented on Facebook, or I sent you a post of the Republican Party chairman from Columbiana County. I believe his name's Dave Johnson, who I think was getting in like a little bit of a Facebook feud with, I think it was maybe even Jim Renacci. I could be wrong on this. But essentially saying, you know, like, we as a party are not going to support somebody in a primary against our incumbent governor. And I do think there's something to what you said about the, like, the establishment in the state. Maybe they don't have the biggest names out there, but I think behind the scenes they're going to try everything they can to keep DeWine in there. And like myself, like, I don't like everything DeWine has done by any stretch of the imagination. But again, I like enough that I'd consider voting for him again. And I don't want to take the chance on a Nan Whalen as our governor. Because again, with all this COVID stuff going on, as I understand the animosity towards DeWine from those on the right. But imagine if we had Nan Whalen as our governor or Richard Cordray as our governor. We would be like Michigan and Pennsylvania. Yeah. I know that's not necessarily a reason to vote for somebody. But I I have concerns with a Renacci who's already lost statewide by 8% going up there again. He had his chance statewide. He lost. Do we want to throw him back out there again?
Well, there's a bigger question within the Republican Party, and it's like, should party chairs and local parties endorse people in a primary? Right. Like, mm-hmm. I think currently that they have the ability to endorse people. Maybe it's just a Geauga County thing, but I know it's a very controversial thing. Like, should the party support people in a primary? Should it let the voters decide, and then the party supports whoever the voters pick? That's in response to your comment. I don't know. We're continuing to follow it. I think that the race is very much in flux, and I think that, you know, whereas maybe a couple months ago, zero chance a Renacci would win, or an unlikely chance, I think it's possible. And again, if there are more lockdowns, if there are more masks and stuff, support for Renacci could totally surge. I could see that happening.
And for what it's worth, I'm looking at, not that this means much on predicted right now, DeWine still has a massive odds right now. He's at 69%. We'll say 69 cents. It's 69 cents, but we'll say 69%. Renacci at 22%. Blystone at 3%. So at least the people who have put money in are high on DeWine right now.
I was a predicted guy. I had money. I bet on predicted, so I'm a big
predictor. But I would say this: if you're a Renacci guy and you're adamant that he's going to win and DeWine's going to lose, boy, there's some money to be made there, I would say, right now with those odds.
Totally.
Not very high. But I don't know. I think Renacci definitely has a chance, but I don't know. We talked about a couple episodes ago. If COVID is still a thing, like it clearly is right now, that benefits Renacci because – the longer we dwell on COVID, we think back to what DeWine's, health, whatever you want to call them, were, his health orders were, and how unpopular they were with Republicans. I think DeWine wanted to move on from that, and that's why he's kind of being kind of quiet right now with what he's saying and everything. So, I think deep down, like I think he wants to do something. I don't know what there is to do.
What about final question for you, Michael? In terms of the Senate, what's predicted saying for the Senate primary? Is there a predicted?
Yeah, there is. Let me pull that up. Ohio Senate. So right now, Mandel 40%, J.D. Vance 32%, Jane Timken 26%.
Whoa. So those are the three. I think it's clear. Those are the three people in the running. It's Timken.
Even though Mike Gibbons is wasting his money advertising on TV right now statewide. I was over at my parents the other night and there's a commercial for him. I'm pretty sure my dad's like, who the hell is that guy?
So this, you want to know something interesting about Mike Gibbons. And so as I'm an investment banker in Cleveland, Ohio, Gibbons started an investment bank called Browns Gibbons Lang. Brown Gibbons Lang. I don't know if it's Browns or Brown. I think it's Brown Gibbons Lang. And it's called BGL. And they have a reputation for being like the worst place to work in the city of Cleveland. Like, they just abuse their people. They make them work like 100-hour weeks. They fired people so that they wouldn't get their bonus, which is like a big no-no in banking. So they have a horrible, horrible reputation. And it's ironic because I hear that Gibbons is actually a really nice guy. And I hear that he's like, he's putting a lot of money into this race. He's going out and meeting people. I hear he's like a great guy, but his bank is like literally one of the worst banks in the state of Ohio or in the country. So fun fact,
he wants it. This isn't the first time he ran either. I believe he's run. No, he ran before.
He ran for governor, didn't he?
He may have
something like that. Yeah. He's run for an Ohio statewide race before. Well, Mike, I think that's. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm good. I really had nothing else.
I think that's it for today. I think this was a great episode, by the way.
I like it was rapid fire with Dane, just firing questions off to Ryan and me. I like it.
Yeah, it was solid. So, well, listen, we're about to break. Any thoughts before we leave? Oh, our sponsor today is. Passion fruit bubbly, by the way. Did you know that?
I did not. Look at that. Very nice. Very nice.
Passion fruit bubbly.
I see people drink those. Are those any good?
Yeah, they're really good. I'm addicted to these things. It's probably going to find out that like it causes cancer. But
carbonated water, or is it like just a water. Flavored? Ugh.
It's like a LaCroix.
I don't like those things.
Well, I guess... Not everybody.
I'll stick with my cherry cokes, the unhealthy stuff.
Well, your teeth they won't forgive you for it.
So on next episode, I'm still working on it. So Nick Santucci, who's running in Trumbull County for state rep, he wasn't able to join us last Thursday. I got to actually follow up with him to get him on. He's going to come on. Hopefully next episode we'll get him on. I'll try to narrow that down and we'll promote that in advance. I just have. You know, I started a new job and everything, so I haven't been following up on things as closely as I should with the podcast. So I'll get back on it now that I'm settled in my new position. So,
well, we're looking forward to it. So, thanks for another great episode, Mike. And stay alive. Don't let the COVID get you.
Yes, be safe, everybody. Take care, and we'll talk to you next time. We'll see you, everybody.
Okay, thanks. Bye.